The final edition radio hour is a work of satire intended for audiences who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Welcome to the final edition radio hour, Satire with Teeth. I'm Jeff Kreisler. We've sent Tony Hendra on a secret clandestine mission to gather the comedy bits that aliens have scattered to the far reaches of the world. So I guess it's up to me to tell you that this week we'll visit the Sochi Olympics, learn how to invest in market bubbles, steal Rand Paul's plagiarism, meet the new Republicans, preview Elmore Leonard's Downton Abbey, and take a trip down the rabbit hole to visit Alec in Wonderland. This is the final edition radio, oh my god, hour!
Hey kids, have you heard about the ramp?
Did you say the ramp?
Hey, somebody's got the ramp!
It's the latest fun time plaything with a mighty physical challenge for obese kids like you.
Yay!
The ramp has a crazy 12-foot climb up an amazing 15-degree incline.
Whoa, the ramp is intense.
Kids can run up the ramp, or walk up, or walk halfway up, run out of breath, and roll back down.
I'm almost at the top.
Half of my face is numb.
Todd's having a stroke.
Not everyone can handle the ramp, but once you get to the top, you can say,
I don't want to play with this anymore. It's too hard.
Come on, everybody. Get on the ramp.
The final edition now brings you President Vladimir Putin's first meeting with the Sochi Olympic Planning Committee.
So I said, Pussy Riot? I'd like to introduce you to my band, Penis Gulag.
Tell it again, President Putin.
Tell it again.
I love that one.
Okay, no, look. Come on, guys. We have to get serious.
Okay.
Sochi. Olympics. Planning status now.
Oh, very well. That's so good.
Okay, then. Planner of the Olympic Hotels. Hotel status.
We don't.
Don't what?
There are no hotels in Sochi for the Olympians or press.
No problem. Here's the solution. Take all the funds allocated for hotels and give me the cash.
Well, you have all the cash. We never received.
Take it outside and put it with Pussy Riot.
But no, I have...
Okay, here's the plan with the hotels. Make like two. The rest, scaffolding with tarps draped loosely around.
Excellent idea, President Putin.
Wait. What's my new name?
My apologies. King of Olympics Putin.
Yes. Go on.
What we should do about water for our guests, for showering, brushing teeth, and drinking.
What do you think? Yellow pea. My yellow pea. Ha ha. These visitors to Mother Russia should be honored to shower, drink, and brush their inferior teeth in King of Olympics Putin pea. True story. If they brush their teeth five times with the power of my pee, they automatically become a green belt in judo.
Wow.
Security planner, go.
There is no security. Many terrorist threats from the black widows and wild dogs running around everywhere.
Good.
Good?
Yes, the wild dogs will bite the black widows, and that will take care of that. Just make sure the wild dogs nor the black widows drink my Putin pee. We don't need judo green belt wild dogs.
But aren't you concerned that the wild dogs will bite the Olympians? Or even worse, the press?
Not if they know what's good for them.
But that doesn't solve security issues.
Take him outside and put him with Pussy Riot.
What? No, but I...
But put him in a different cell so he can only kind of look at the hot one. Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to keep almost all of the Olympic funds. We have wild dogs for security, and everyone can sleep in tents or on the street. We probably will run out of snow pretty soon, too, for the Winter Olympics, because it's like 60 degrees all the time here in Sochi. All right. I'll give you some rubles for the opening ceremony. Opening ceremony planner, what have you got?
A weird presentation that has a little girl flying around, horses being chased by an orange donut, and a Candyland version of Russian architecture.
Does it make me look like Stalin?
Yes.
I like it. Go take a shower with Pussy Riot. Oh, and one more thing.
Yes, Olympic King Putin.
Make sure one of the Olympic circles doesn't open, and have our flame lighters send out a racist tweet about the American president.
Oh, yeah, of course, because we are racist.
Yes, yeah. I hate everyone.
Nothing about the homo.
Okay, let's all take a shower with Pussy Riot.
Yay!
And now, another episode of Oh, That George, starring George Zimmerman, the lovable little scamp who can be excused for anything, no matter what kind of mischief he gets into. As our story opens, George is being released from custody after his ex-wife said he threatened her with a gun and punched her father in the face.
Well, your wife changed her story, so it looks like you're free to go spread your infectious joy throughout the world. Do photo ops at gun shows.
Thanks, Officer Tom. Boy, women sure can be a lot of trouble.
Yeah, but what are you going to do?
Oh, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to be ready, Tom. I'm going to be armed and ready. And then I'm going to walk away clean, just like always.
Oh, George.
Later at the 911 dispatch.
Oh, no. There's been an accident with an SUV. I'm calling my friend George to come over and rescue them. Maybe that'll fix his reputation. Oh, here he comes now.
I am a silent guardian, a watchful protector, a dark knight.
That was probably self-defense.
Come here, punk.
And now, still more from the final edition's finance feature, Money or Die.
The great economic booms of the modern era, housing in the 2000s, technology in the 1990s, savings and loans in the 1980s, have one thing in common, bubbles. Many economists believe we need another bubble to accelerate our current recovery. One believer is David Schwarzstein, an unindicted accountant formerly of Arthur Andersen. He created the popular low-risk, high-return, general uncertainty margins, or GUMs, designed to reinflate the economy.
What industry will create the next five-year ride of imaginary wealth? Oil or autos, airplanes, entertainment, corn, solar, celebrity fashion? No one knows. But this came to me on Turks and Caicos. Everyone's speculating. Speculating about the speculative market. Speculation about speculation is still speculation, isn't it?
Turns out, yes it is. Thus, the bubble concept. Speculation in speculation. Schwarzstein created GUMs in partnership with Citibank, Deutsche Bank, and Bank of America. A Citibank spokesman explained how they work.
Institutional investors buy a minimum $10 million bet that one of 25 pre-selected industries will produce the next bubble. They only put down 0.1%, so their stake is an incredible 99.9% leveraged.
A Deutsche Bank analyst continued.
These institutional bets are then bundled into GUMs, and shares of those are offered to the public. It's totally safe. All you need is a bank account and the desire to get rich. GUMs will always appreciate.
Are GUMs SEC and FTC approved? A Bank of America economist insists that they probably are.
But that doesn't matter. What matters is that GUMs are really certainly win-win. So there's no time to lose. Buy shares right now. Don't ask questions.
Could these bubble GUMs rejuvenate America's arthritic economy?
You can bet your life on it.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, Adele.
You changed your status and now you're married and got new headshots. I saw that you bought a townhouse. I got the address from public records. Old friend, why did we fail? Why don't you respond to my 99 emails? I came back in your life uninvited, cause I found your Flickr page. I got excited and I Facebook friend your kids, cause I implied it that I knew their father. Never mind, I'll find more about you. Keep on posting everything that you do. Just don't block me like this. And please forgive. I got on Google Earth and now I see where you live. I got on Google Earth and now I see where you live. See your face on Skype and MySpace. I'll follow you there by watching Foursquare. I also began a subreddit in your name. Never mind, I'll keep researching you. I put key capture software on your CPU. My reception is mine. All your passwords are mine. I'm in your Gmail writing love notes you meant to sign. I'm in your Gmail writing to tell me that you're mine.
We'll be right back after this with the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour, a more perfect onion.
The following message is brought to you by the Republican effort to totally revamp ourselves in 2014, or Retro 2014.
I am black.
I am gay.
And I am Latino.
We're the new Republicans.
Hey, my black friend. You are African American all the time. Tell the people why you are Republican, why don't you?
Glad to, my same-sex friend. I am a smaller government guy, who is also a black guy.
And I am a part of a growing group of Spanish-type people.
We're the new Republicans!
As a Latino man, I'm not going to deport myself.
I no longer wish to deport you, only to discriminate against you in more socially acceptable ways.
As do I, my fellow minorities. I am gay, but I feel gay marriage should be between a man and a woman.
We're the new Republicans!
I think evolution might be true.
I think facts might be true.
Global warming is still not true.
We're the new Republicans!
As a black man, I no longer believe in not helping black people.
I am gay. I am here. Get used to it.
I speak Spanish.
Now America has a real choice.
It's like the choice between Oreos and Hydrox.
Vegas and Atlantic City.
Type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes.
We're the new Republicans.
Are we off?
Oh, that was pretty good.
I'm going to be the gay guy next time.
Newsflash from the White House. This latest naive, desperate, last-minute attempt at a peace agreement in Israel will be the one that finally does it. Our Pepper Lewis is in Tel Aviv.
For decades, every outgoing lame duck U.S. president tries to slap together some lasting, meaningful peace agreement in the Holy Land. And every time, it falls apart. But this time, it's really gonna work. And as you can hear behind me, people in Israel are ecstatic. Here was Secretary of State John Kerry earlier this afternoon.
We have talked to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and left a message with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas to ask if he's really in charge or whether we should be talking to somebody else. And overall, I'd say things are moving along pretty good.
Do you expect Israeli officials or the Palestinians to dig in their heels or overplay their hand like they've done every single other time this has been attempted?
I can't imagine that would ever happen.
In July, Kerry set a deadline of 9 months for peace talks, a deadline that has nearly arrived. But good news, Kerry now says that deadline is artificial.
We're probably going to renege on that deadline and move back away from every threat we've made so far. I think people will take us more seriously that way.
World leaders are also expressing unwavering confidence. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani.
You can count on us not to undermine this peace process. Boy, is it ever going to be great when no one can threaten Israel? Okay, don't translate this next part. I am calling arms dealer.
And Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Yes. Wow, this would totally work. Hang on, I have a phone call. Hello.
And it's an exhilarating moment here in Israel as the current American president achieves what every previous American president has only attempted in the same half-assed way. Let's talk to a typical Israeli. Excuse me, sir, how do you feel now that President Obama is bringing peace to your country?
Well, I always suspected the U.S. executive branch could fix literally everything everywhere. It was just a matter of sending out one more Secretary of State.
And how are you going to celebrate this inevitable solution to the Palestinian crisis?
I think I will visit some Palestinians and shake hands in friendship. Then I will knock down their house and move in with my family.
Pepper Lewis in Tel Aviv.
In move to broaden voter base, GOP endorses gay engagements.
Hey, are you going to New York City this summer? Do you plan to see the Statue of Liberty, Ellis Island, and are sure to pay your respects at Ground Zero? Well, fuck that! Why? Because the TMZ tour bus is coming to NYC!
Holy shit, the TMZ tour bus?
That's right, asshole! Why waste your time at the symbol of American freedom when you can see exactly what sidewalk Lindsay Lohan likes to take her long drunken pisses on?
Hey, I think I can still smell it.
Don't waste your time seeing where your great-grandparents started their journey toward the American dream when you can go exactly where Katie Holmes walks with her daughter daily.
Wow, Katie Holmes? Let's go bother her.
Why pay your respects to the place where the people are already dead? They don't know you're there. When the TMZ bus will take you to a discreet cafe where Anne Hathaway will know you are definitely there.
There she is, quietly enjoying lunch. Everybody yell, "Show that cooch, Anne!" She'll love it.
And then let's tell her how much we hated several of her movies. She'll love that too.
Come ride the TMZ tour bus. Forget about culture, history, and memorials when you can see important stuff like where Kevin Spacey picked his ass coming out of a Broadway show, or exactly where Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise decided to divorce, or favorite hangouts of all your favorite celebrities so you can bother them.
Hey, they're all my favorite and not-so-favorite celebrities. Let's go bother them.
The TMZ Tour Bus, getting ready to destroy a little bit more of society starting in May of 2013.
Hey, Tom Hanks, Dragnet sucked. See? He loved it.
Tonight, the adventures of Alec in Wonderland. Alec, the American Legislative Exchange Council, a gang of conservative state legislators who push for laws that benefit the corporations who fund them, was beginning to get very tired of sitting by its friend Ted Cruz at the bank. Suddenly, a white rabbit with pink eyes ran close by, saying,
oh dear, I shall be late.
The rabbit took a watch out of its waistcoat pocket, looked at it, and hurried on. And Alex started to her feet, for it flashed across her mind,
I could probably kill the talking rabbit and take the watch.
So she chased the rabbit across a field and down a long conservative rabbit hole. When she finally landed, she found a tiny door through which she could see a set of concerns so narrow and self-interested that she thought,
how shall I ever be able to enter if I'm supposed to represent a broad constituency?
But fortunately, on a nearby table, she found a little bottle of Kool-Aid labeled Drink Me. Alex stopped to make sure the bottle was not marked poison, and even though it, in fact, was poison, it was not marked as such. So, what the hell?
What a curious feeling,
said Alec after she drank the Kool-Aid. For soon, her political base was only 10 inches high, and her public approval rating was in the single digits. Beyond the door, she found a large table with the March Hare, the Mad Hatter, and the Dormouse, all sitting at the far right end.
No room. No room.
There's plenty of room. The entire left side of the table is empty.
There is no left side of anything. There is only the right.
What happens to people after we take away their social security?
Oh, I'm glad you've begun asking riddles. I believe I can guess that.
Do you mean that you think you can find out the answer to it?
Exactly so.
Then you should say what you mean.
I do. At least I mean what I say. That's the same thing, you know?
Not the same thing a bit. For instance, here's a piece of legislation called the Resolution on Country of Origin Labeling. Can you guess what it does?
Does it make sure food labels show the country of origin?
No, the opposite. It resists implementing those kinds of requirements for meat producers and processors.
Their jobs are hard enough.
And how about the Public Employee Choice Act?
Does it help public employees?
No! It means employees can choose not to pay their union. Soon no one pays. Unions go out of business. Workers have no leverage. Salaries drop. Everybody wins!
Except the public employees!
And anyone who uses their services.
And the economy in general.
But we win!
Change places! And how about our Energy, Environment, and Agriculture Task Force? Guess who's on it?
Well, it has environment in the name. Does it have environmentalists?
Nope. Coal and energy groups.
Including two people who gave a talk called Warming Up to Climate Change. The Many Benefits of Increased Atmospheric CO2.
And what do you think the Medicaid Block Grant Act would do?
It sounds like it would add money to Medicaid, so that means
it would take it away.
Have you guessed the riddle yet?
What happens to people after we take away Social Security?
Oh, I don't know. What's the answer?
I haven't the slightest idea.
Nor I.
And who cares, really?
Yeah. Screw 'em.
Hey, March Hare, think fast.
You bashed the March Hare's head in.
Sweet, got the watch.
Change places!
Be with us next time when Alec goes through the looking glass and everything becomes the opposite.
Hey, corporations are the real victims here.
Change places!
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour, a more perfect onion.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is sponsored by...
Your baby is the most important person in your life, so why not let him know that? With diamonds. At Pre-K Jewelers, we offer a fine selection of high-end bracelets and pendants that are just right for a child in the pre-memory stage. Will he put it in his mouth?
Of course, he's a baby. But even if he swallows them, and he will, our indestructible fair trade diamonds will turn up in your son's Huggies within 48 hours. So ask yourself, do you love your baby or not? Because when we love something, we buy it diamonds. Pre-K Jewelers. If you don't buy our jewelry, we'll find some better parents who will.
Good evening. This is Media Insider, and my guest tonight is Francis Stapler, an actual human being who talks like a headline of an Upworthy post. Mr. Stapler, welcome.
It's so good to be here. Just watch how I react.
Okay. Now, for those not familiar with Upworthy, their posts appear a lot on Facebook, usually some uplifting video with a politically liberal message, and headlines that are always kind of, well, Mr. Stapler, how would you describe them?
The headlines are so manipulative, you'll be amazed when you see this one amazing thing in the article.
Right, they all kind of sound like that. So, how did you start talking this way?
I clicked on so many Upworthy headlines when I didn't even want to. You won't believe what happened next.
So, what happened?
What?
What happened next, after you clicked on the headlines?
After I clicked on all those headlines, you won't believe what happened next.
You already said that. Do you have any kind of follow-up, or are you just stringing me along?
You think there's no follow-up. But suddenly, this interviewer is in for a shock.
And what's the shock? You got nothing.
My shock is so non-existent, you won't not believe what doesn't happen next. All my friends stopped talking to me. And then I saw something amazing!
No, you didn't.
People get so annoyed. Their reactions will inspire you.
Okay, we're going to commercial.
What is our product? What does it do? Why do you buy it? What's going on? Why am I talking? Where am I? What is this? What does it weigh? How many are you? What can I get you? What are our specials? How did I get in your house? And what am I going to do to your family? You'll be amazed when I tell you.
We are back with Francis Stapler, the man who speaks in Upworthy headlines. And listeners should know that Mr. Stapler has, in fact, found a girlfriend. Her name is Ann Singer. She's in our studio, and apparently she talks in BuzzFeed headlines. Ann, how's the relationship going?
Click here for 12 ways this relationship is unsatisfying.
Ah, and now she's downloading 12 different GIFs at once, and it's crashing our studio computers. So, we'll have to say goodbye. Thank you both for coming in.
Which Simpsons character is our dysfunctional relationship? Take our quiz.
Oh, I want to take this quiz.
Straight couple fights to adopt gay baby.
Welcome to Pundit View, where we hear from pundits on the right and the left. On the right is Lem Bitberg, a radio talk show host from Sacramento or something.
The IRS delayed my nonprofit status.
And on the left is Alan Damon Kavanaugh, a columnist at some magazine with a circulation of less than 2,000.
Gay people are the new black people.
First topic, metaphysics. Lem, why does the universe consist of something instead of nothing? And why is it governed by one set of laws instead of another? Are there infinite universes using different laws, including one universe in which there is no universe?
Listen, if you don't like the laws of physics, go back to Kenya. America is the greatest country in the world. I love it so much that I'm trying to secede from it.
Alan, your thoughts?
First of all, use my entire name when you address me, Alan Damon Kavanaugh. Second of all, if the laws of the universe are unfair, it's Mitch McConnell's fault. The laws would be completely different if we had filibuster reform.
Great, that covers both sides of the issue. Next, number theory. What are numbers? Are they real objects or just formal systems? If numbers are non-physical concepts that exist beyond space and time, how can we be aware of them? Alan Damon Kavanaugh.
We'd be aware of everything if we only knew what the Koch brothers are doing.
Lem?
Numbers have a liberal bias.
Last topic. This quote from The Denial of Death, the philosophical opus by Ernest Becker. He said of human beings that, quote, we are gods with anuses. Please explain the meaning of that statement and provide three examples, Lem.
Becker is saying that human consciousness transcends our immediate perceptions and embraces the concept of eternity, but that we are still bound by the laws of mortality and nature. Benghazi!
Alan Damon Kavanaugh!
You said anus.
That's Pundit View for tonight. Tomorrow, to what extent does a Proto-Indo-European language still survive in modern English? And when and how did agriculture develop? Our pundits weigh in!
Okay, everybody, welcome back to our support group for over 40-year-old men who watch the HBO show Girls. Who would like to begin?
I will. Hello, everyone. I'm Frank. I'm an over 40-year-old man, and I watch HBO's Girls.
Hello, Frank.
I was watching from the beginning. I thought the show was really funny. I rooted for this girl, even though she was flawed. I wanted to see if she would survive in the big city or end up back home in Michigan.
So what happened, Frank?
I have a hard time with this.
Go ahead. It's okay. We are all here for you.
Well, that was just a story about a self-involved jackass who's not likable. Why would HBO make a show about a completely unlikable character?
What about Curb Your Enthusiasm?
That was the point of the show! That was the point! From day one, you were like, "Ah, this Larry David is a bastard over shrimp." I got that. I don't get Girls.
I just have to say something, because Frank's really touching on a nerve here.
Go ahead.
Hello, I'm Steven. I'm an over 40-year-old man, and I watch HBO's Girls.
Hello, Steven.
I'm getting very angry about this.
Let it out. It's why we are here.
How can HBO do this? They are known for greatness. Sopranos, Six Feet Under, The Wire. The Wire!
Don't forget Game of Thrones, for the light's sake.
Oh, yes. Those are all very intelligent, mature shows. But remember, they don't always have hits. How about John from Cincinnati?
Yes, but it didn't become insanely popular and considered the comedy of its generation.
I gotta step in. I'm Bill. I'm an over 40-year-old dude, and I watch HBO's Girls.
Hi, Bill.
I don't get Lena Dunham's nakedness all the time. Sure, two times. It's great that the un-Hollywood beauty is showing skin. That's brave. That's artsy. But when it feels like every scene is an excuse for her to show her bubbies, I don't want to see it. I'd rather see Peter Scolari nude again.
Yes, and it makes me want to see Allison Williams naked even more. And I feel creepy about that. I want to see all the rest of them naked. If Lena Dunham's going to take off her clothes, then I want it balanced with the rest of them. But they won't!
None of them will, except for Lena Dunham. Put your clothes on, Lena Dunham. Why won't HBO stop her? She's naked more than the whole cast of Rome during the entire series. Where's Judd Apatow? He's the executive producer. Why doesn't he put her clothes on?
And there is no way Patrick Wilson would bang Lena Dunham for a weekend. It should have been Shoshana, you know, David Mamet's daughter.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Yeah, she's funny.
Good point, guys. Glad you're getting this all out. Much more productive than my support group for 30-year-old women who watch Entourage.
Well, you watched that for Jeremy Piven and Lloyd. I mean, there was something there. Even Kevin Dillon had his moments.
Sure. Now, to clear things up for us, I've brought in a 22-year-old girl to explain the appeal of Girls.
Oh my God, Girls is awesome. Didn't you guys read Vogue? Lena Dunham is a comedic genius, the queen of comedy. She completely speaks to my generation.
Carol Burnett is the queen of comedy.
Who?
Look, Lena Dunham plays a character who does not think about anyone except herself. Anyone. She was at a funeral and was asking the widow about her book deal.
Exactly. That's how awesome she is.
Let's make her watch True Detective.
Yeah!
Okay, guys. Good meeting. FYI, I have a new support group starting next week. It's for those who are still angry that Carnival was canceled.
Oh, yeah, good.
Oh!
I am, man.
Yeah!
Yeah, hold the legs. Hold the legs!
Well,
you have a... What channel is HBO on here?
No.
We'll be right back after this with the Final Edition Radio Hour. Welcome back to the conclusion of the Final Edition Radio Hour, A More Perfect Onion. It looks like we might make it after all. It's time to meet the Final Edition Radio Hour's chaplain and end times advisor, Pastor John Hagee, of Cornerstone Church in San Antonio, Texas. Here's Pastor John with another End Times God Podcast.
Today, why Christians must wipe out the environment. Folks ask me, Reverend, how come we need laws against witchcraft? Because the heathen practice witchcraft, and environmentalists are heathens. Witches and warlocks who worship the moon and trees. They hug trees and fornicate with them. They kidnap Christian babies with long-range magic and feed them to endangered species. The environment is heathen. Do endangered species worship the Lord and sing hymns and raise their children in the fear of the Lord? No. They sit around never doing a lick of work, naked as the day they was born, with their sex doodads banging around between the legs and fornicating with any female that comes down the trail. The environment is dark-sided. The environment sends us hurricanes, tsunamis, snowstorms, forest fires, floods, pestilence. Where does a plague of frogs come from? Or boils or black fly? From some fine Christian oil or coal company? No sirree, Bob. They come from the environment. Without strip mining and clear cutting and bulldozing, without chemicals and pollutants and the Army Corps of Engineers, God bless their holy earth movers, we would be engulfed in a nightmare called the environment. Hungry, thirsty, cold and naked, having spotted owls and Canada geese pecking out our eyes, having our steaming entrails ripped from our bellies by polar bears and snail darters. Every single one of these heathen killers coming from where, brethren and sistren? Idaho? No. The environment. The Lord God gave us the environment to wipe out. The Lord wants a planet stripped of heathen trees and sinful species. Oceans emptied of fat, lazy whales, and freeloading baby seals. He doesn't want to see a speck of green. Green makes the Lord see red. Green is the color of envy and witch vomit. God wants a spotless white planet, ready for him to destroy utterly when he returns. For the Messiah is coming, America. Wherefore, rejoice.
We at Koch Industries wanted to know what freedom means. So we got opinions from the people who matter the most. Ordinary Americans.
What does freedom mean to me? I guess it means people much richer than I can get huge tax breaks, even though they export jobs to other countries. In fact, because they outsource jobs. That should be required.
It means really rich people can spend so much money on their favorite political causes that it completely drowns out my voice. I mean, the less you hear from me, the better.
It means a pair of wealthy industrialists can prevent any meaningful progress against global warming, thus dooming the rest of us to a century of weather disasters.
And what would you do if these freedoms were taken away?
I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. I guess I'd shoot up a crowded mall. Maybe a college campus.
I'd blow myself up in a bus, and I'd make sure the bomb had, you know, a lot of nails and glass and stuff.
I'd start kidnapping children.
Hey, you know what? Ordinary Americans love freedom. Why don't you?
The proceeding was paid for by dark money routed through an offshore account to a dummy nonprofit and distributed to a grassroots organization that would be nothing, and I mean nothing, without our help. So maybe they should think about that.
The Final Edition is pleased to have with us Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky.
This is one small step for Rand, one giant leap for Randkind.
You're making fun of a Neil Armstrong quote, but you're under fire for plagiarizing material in a dozen speeches.
Under Fire. Under Fire is a French novel. under fire the story of a squad, Le Feu Journal Une Escouade, by Henri Barbusse. It's one of the first novels about World War I published in December 1916.
Did you just get that from Wikipedia?
No.
That came off the top of your head?
I'm from Kentucky, Strong. I don't know where everything comes from.
I just looked up Under Fire on Wikipedia, and it says word for word what you just said.
I can't keep track of every little word I read off Wikipedia.
It seems like you're taking all your words off Wikipedia.
It's nonsense.
How's it nonsense?
Nonsense is a communication via speech, writing, or any other symbolic system that lacks coherent meaning. In ordinary usage, nonsense is synonymous with absurdity or the ridiculous.
You did it again. You're reading from Wikipedia.
No, I'm reading from my cell phone. Oh, wait, that's Wikipedia, too?
So you admit to plagiarism.
Plagiarism is the wrongful appropriation and purloining and publication of another
author's language, thoughts, ideas, or expression.
Hey, how'd you know that?
I'm reading from the same Wikipedia entry you are.
Well, if you know all this stuff, what are you asking me for?
Because it's clear you're plagiarizing.
Why is it okay for you to do it and not for me?
Because I'm not running for president. I'm seeing where you get your ideas.
You're attacking my whole campaign.
Your whole campaign is based on someone else's thoughts.
I'm a Republican. Be glad it's based on any thoughts.
For the final edition, I'm Strong Powers, sitting in for Stone Peck.
Stone. The Stone Age is a broad prehistoric period during which stone was widely used to make implements with a sharp edge, a point, or a percussion surface. The period lasted roughly 3.4 million years and ended.
Area Man sues the Onion for long-standing bias against Area Men.
We just checked the headlines, and it looks like it's time for episode 2 of Oh That George, starring George Zimmerman, the lovable little scamp who gets into all kinds of trouble, but never gets in trouble. Well, it looks like old George is having lady troubles again. Let's drop by the local police station where he's hanging out with his old friend, Officer Tom.
All right, George. Now, did you smash all those things in your girlfriend's apartment, or did she?
Oh, let's just say things were smashed. I tell you, Officer Tom, I'll just never understand women. First my girl tells me to leave her house, then she gets mad when I start packing, so I tell her to leave.
Well, then you pointed a gun in her face.
That's what she said.
Well, George, America can't stay mad at you. You're free to go.
Thanks, Officer Tom.
And don't forget your guns.
All right, first you tell me to leave, now you're stalling me over the guns. You're going psycho on me, Tom. You're out of control. You've got to get out of here.
I've got to what?
Get out, Tom, now!
But you're kicking me out of my own police station.
Later, George goes to stay with his old pal, Sean Hannity. Sean always understands.
Buck up, George. Everyone knows you're the real victim. You're always the real victim.
But gee, Sean, how am I ever gonna work things out with the ladies?
Relax. Why, it just so happens I've got Carol from downstairs dropping by for dinner. There she is now. Hey, Carol, this is my friend George.
Hi, I'm George. May I take your coat? You can just hang them on my gun. I use it for everything.
How resourceful.
George, you shot a hole in her coat!
It had a knife!
Later that evening...
You know, George, I'm glad Sean left us alone. I think I've been waiting my whole life for a guy like you.
Gosh, do you mean it?
Yeah. You know, I've been in a lot of abusive relationships in my life. One right after another. Over and over. Every single time. But I know this is going to be different. My instincts are never wrong. Except whenever I get into the abusive relationships.
That sounds great, Carol. I just have one question.
It's the middle of the night. What are you doing in Sean Hannity's apartment?
Final Edition Radio Hour spoiler alert!
Season 4 of Downton Abbey is already in the works. Anxious to avoid mid-series doldrums, the producers have been looking for a new writer to inject a little action into the beloved British peon to rigid class distinctions. The answer? Elmore Leonard.
Raylan drives his Model A onto the estate. Right away, the fat butler pops out the front door, giving him the fisheye.
May I inquire as to whom is calling, sir?
You pull on me, I put a .44 through your duodenum. Your piece never even clears your cummerbund.
I'm afraid I'm not following you, sir. Is his lordship expecting you?
Raylan Gibbons. United States Deputy Marshal, Southern Central District. What he could expect.
I shall announce your arrival, sir. Please be so kind as to wait in the library.
Raylan tosses his cowboy hat on a leather armchair, pulls a book off a shelf. Turning pages, remembering what reading was like, something he did back when.
My husband is busy suppressing another scandal in the family. May I help you?
I just want to talk, Cora. You're not who I'm looking at.
I made you off the car. Black 1922 Model A, practically screaming law. Aren't you way out your jurisdiction?
Got me a Scotland Yard courtesy card. Plus local backup, Miss Marple out there, sitting up in a sycamore. Bought her a second-hand Lee Enfield bolt action, war surplus. Comes 8 rounds, tossed in free of charge.
No artillery?
We talk now, it stays polite. High tea at the Ritz. I come back with a warrant. There goes the mood.
Warrant for what? We're all fancy pants Brit aristocracy here. You think you're looking at what? Some kind of low-life redneck crime scene?
This infant is the bastard son of Lord Twombly. He must put things right or I shall go to the press.
Oh, this is Lord Grantham's house, Ducky. Twombly, hang a left at the gates. 2 miles down the road, you're there.
Oh, terribly sorry.
The Dowager Countess, a.k.a. Lady Violet, sometimes using the alias Maggie Smith. Her doing Professor Moriarty since 1873. Holmes putting him down in 95. Old Vi taking over the syndicate. Working the usual master criminal dodges, Archduke assassination, crown jewel theft, felonious government overthrow. The list goes on in that vein.
Oh, you're completely insane.
Look, Lady Cora, I can walk. And my unmentionable body parts are working again.
Yes, dear Matthew, we've known that for quite some time now.
Lady Cora rolling her eyes. One eye rolling too far, falling out of the socket.
I just can't get over it. So bloody miraculous. Oh well, mustache off. I'm lunching with Mary to discuss again why we can never marry even though we're desperately in love. I expect to unleash some of my most smoldering glances.
Now you've killed my maid. She was bringing me my shotgun for my afternoon skeet shooting, and there's blood all over the damn Oriental.
Oh, well, what you do there is sprinkle a little baking soda on the wash. Good as new.
You absolute monster, you cad. You vile, vile man. I shall pound on your chest. Oh, my dress has fallen open, as it does. Got time for a brief dalliance?
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition. For your fill of satire with teeth, visit www.thefinaledition.com at least once a day. Performed by Kevin Janis, Barry Lank, Darby Worley, Anne Tuchel, John Marshall, Rob Gordon, Jen Dodd, Jeff Chrysler, Tony Hindra. Written by Louis Grossberger, Barry Lank, Rob Gordon, John Marshall, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hindra. Edited by Greg Russ, and Andrew Hammond. Produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hindra. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.